A few years ago, I've told this story, but Sarah and her husband, Udi, were in Europe, and they had to get back to London on a Monday morning, and there were 100-mile-an-hour winds in London, and they grounded all the flights. You sometimes get these winds in England. It's amazing. I remember one year, it was equivalent of a hurricane. They don't call it a hurricane, but the winds came through, and they uprooted enormous trees all over the country. And this was one of those occasions, and they had to be back. Udi had something important the next day, and so they finally managed somehow to get to, I think it was Luxembourg. And there was a small commuter plane that was flying into London City Airport. And I know some of them looking at Stuart, he was just at Heathrow last week. London City Airport, Heathrow is a nice big airport. London City Airport has a shorter runway than PDK, literally. It's situated right along the Thames River, and it's got big, huge buildings around. It's not the kind of place I would want to land in 100-mile-an-hour winds. Anyway, this plane takes off, commuter plane. They get off the ground, and it's like the Coney Island roller coaster. Udi turns white. The plane is being bounced around over all creation. Sarah, of course, is scared to death. And she remembered this gospel reading we just read this morning. And so in this tiny little plane that had about 10 people in it, and everybody could hear everything that was going on, Sarah begins to pray out loud and to command the winds to cease. She said 5 minutes later, it was dead calm. Udi, who is an Israeli, his eyes were this big. They landed in London, and it was an uneventful flight. This really happened. This incident that we read about with the winds in the sea got the attention of Jesus' disciples. We were talking about this at one of our home groups. Greeks do what? They seek what? Wisdom. But Jews seek what? Signs. The Jews want to know, does it work? This got Udi's attention. You can pray for him later on. He hears about Jesus an awful lot. He's not a believer yet, but when things get tough, he does ask for prayer. So we can pray for him later. But I want to talk today about the story of two Shauls. Anybody know who Shaul is? Saul. It's the way you say Saul in Hebrew, Shaul. And the word comes from, not to get too much into Hebrew today, I know some people don't like it when I do, but the infinitive is lishol. It means to ask. And Shaul, when you sha'al, you are asking for something, it means asked for. Now, Shaul, or Saul, came from what tribe? There was another famous Shaul who came from the same tribe, and who was that? Paul of Tarsus. Asked for. The people of Israel were asking for a king. So his name is not a mistake, Shaul. He was the one that was asked for. Why did they want a king? Because they wanted to be like everybody else. Everybody else around them, all the surrounding nations had kings. Israel was being ruled by, it's another Hebrew name, Shmuel, who is Samuel. It means the Lord hears, or the Lord has heard. And Samuel was the prophet who was judging Israel. After the people came into the land, they didn't have kings. They had judges. And Samuel was the judge. He was intimately connected with God. He heard from God. And he was able to speak the word of God to the people. But that wasn't good enough. They wanted a king. They wanted to be like everybody else. They wanted to be like the Joneses. I remember in 1954... I was in the first grade. Those of you old enough to remember, what was the rage in 1954? For boys. Davy Crockett. Davy Crockett was on Disney. Everybody wanted to be like Davy Crockett. And I remember there was a guy in our school who got a Davy Crockett outfit. I think you ordered it from Disney, and they sent it to you. It had the coonskin cap. It had everything. I couldn't get one of those quick enough because I wanted to be like him. And soon, everybody in our class in that school had, all the boys had Davy Crockett outfits, and we would come to school dressed up like Davy Crockett. It shows you what peer pressure does, how we want to conform to what everybody else is doing. So the people of Israel wanted to be like all the nations. They had forgotten their calling because God called them and He chose them for a purpose. A lot of people are confused about what it means to be the chosen people. It's not that you're a notch up above everybody else. It's a tremendous burden because God had chosen Israel as a nation and set them apart so that through them He could make Himself known to the world. The object all along was not for the Jews to keep the knowledge of God to themselves, but to make that knowledge known to the Goyim, to the Gentiles, to the nations. They would be vessels through which the word of the Lord would come. And they were unique among all the peoples on the face of the earth. They were the only people who worshiped the true God. All the rest of us were worshiping, in one degree or another, idols. So if you're not Jewish, you have pagan forebears. And so instead of remembering who they were and what their calling was, the people of Israel forgot. And they decided, we want to be just like the Amalekites. We want to be just like the Philistines. We want to be like the Ammonites. They've all got kings, and we want a king too. And the outcry was so great that God acceded to their demands, and He granted them a king, little knowing that their choice of a king would spell disaster. Shaul, the one who was asked for by the people, was a shipwreck in the end. He started out on the right foot. He had all the indications that he would be a great leader. And by the way, what was the main job of a king, biblically? Fight wars. He was a military leader. They wanted somebody who could deal with the Philistines. They wanted somebody who could deal with the external threat that these various nations were to Israel. So that was his job description. He was a military commander. And Saul had success. But there was something inside Saul's heart that was wrong. And only God can look in the heart. And we get glimpses of this in the biblical account of Saul. But we really don't know the full story. We do know that he experienced God. We know that at one point, the Holy Spirit came upon Saul as he was with the company of the prophets, and he actually prophesied. People were asking the question, is Saul amongst the prophets? So he knew that there was a God, and he knew that God was able to speak, and yet he hardened his heart somehow. And he drifted. You know, most people don't turn away from God. They drift away from God. It's slow. It's incremental. It consists of compromise after compromise until you wake up one day and you realize, I've left my first love. I'm not who I once was. And so in the end, God had to raise up another king, an equally flawed human being. And you would say, if you put David and Saul on the scales, who was worse than the other? They both had faults, but the difference between the two kings is that David is called what? A man after God's own heart. A man whose heart was sinful and flawed, and yet he was willing to own up to his failures. He was willing to admit when he was wrong. He was willing to ask for God's forgiveness. He was unwilling to turn his back on God. Saul eventually turned his back on God. He did something that was expressly forbidden in the scriptures and something that he himself had forbidden, and that was to consult occult spirits. And in the end, he died tragically by his own hand. And God raised up David to replace him. Now, the other one who was asked for, the other son of Benjamin, of the tribe of Benjamin, the other Shaul, was a far different character. He was a man of very strong opinions. He was a man who was educated to a higher degree than most of his peers. He was a student of the scripture. And he was filled with hatred towards the person of Jesus of Nazareth. So much so that he was willing to imprison and even put to death those who believed in him. And it was in the middle of a trip to do just that, that the risen Lord confronts this Shaul. And instead of turning his back on God, he opens his heart at that moment and recognizes that Jesus is who he says he is. And his life was transformed. Probably there is no other figure in the New Testament that has had more influence down through the centuries on Christians than the Apostle Paul. His letters, his epistles were written before the Gospels were written. So many people have been converted. Augustine of Hippo was converted by reading the words of Paul. Martin Luther was converted by reading the words of Paul. John Wesley was converted by reading the words of Paul. He was a man who was an enemy of the cross and who became its greatest proponent. A man who was able to write this: although I myself might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more, circumcised on the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness which is in the law, I was found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. This Shaul learned the lesson, unlike his predecessor. And because of that, he yielded his heart to God and became an instrument for his purposes. God is calling us to do the same thing. He's calling us to have a heart check and to see where we are. Are we following the course of Saul, the king of Israel, or of Saul, the apostle? Where are we today? You know, one of the things that Paul says is examine yourselves, look into your own heart to see if you are in the faith. You can ask the Lord to do that for you, to show you your heart. He won't show you everything because it would be too much for you to take, but he'll show you just enough. And then we can pray with Paul, with Saul's successor, King David. Oh Lord, create within me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for these examples of both Sauls. For the one who eventually drifted away from you and turned his heart against you. And for the other one who was transformed and turned around and remade as a new creation on that road to Damascus. We pray for all of us this morning, Lord, that you would create in us clean hearts and renew a right spirit within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.